name, amen. Okay, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. We began this text, this particular set of verses, last week, and so we're going to pick up in verse 13. And it says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, and or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So just to remind you that last week we discussed several things involving this text, so we're going to kind of get past those first couple of verses quickly. But for 2 years, Jesus has, over 2 years actually, according to the smart people that I read, it's close to 2.5 years that Jesus has been teaching, demonstrating, and affirming to his disciples who he is and what he has come for, what his purpose is. And for the last several months, as we've seen in our study, he's mostly avoided the crowds, the multitudes. Now, he hasn't been able to totally accomplish that because they keep finding him and they keep coming to him. But he's mostly avoided those crowds and has been trying to move around on each side of the Sea of Galilee to different places and find as much privacy with his disciples as he possibly can in order to spend that alone time with them and prepare them to be able to deal with what's about to come. Of course, we know it will not be long and he'll be arrested and crucified and they'll be dealing with that. But also, his teaching and instruction in these private times would prepare them to be able to answer this very question that he's asked in this text, and we find it again in verse 15. Whom say ye that I am? He said, I'm asking you. Not just who does everybody else think I am, but who do you think I am? And they've already told him that the general public thinks that maybe he's John the Baptist. Some speculated that maybe he was Elijah, some Jeremiah, some say maybe some of the other prophets. But no one seems to be suspecting that he is the Messiah. All of those answers are answers that they suspect he's the pre-runner or forerunner to the Messiah, but nobody seems to think he's the Messiah himself. So Jesus shifts his focus from the public and whom they say that he is, and then he directs the question towards his disciples. Whom say ye that I am? And as usual, Peter takes the lead as the spokesperson. He always is, has been, and always will be the one that kind of steps up and does the talking for the group. So in verse 16, he answers, and he says, it says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So after all these months of walking closely with the Lord and now being asked this question, it comes as kind of a like a final exam, so to speak. You've heard all this, you've seen all this for 2.5 years. Now here's the pop question, okay? They've had a lot of teaching over all these years. They've seen a lot of miracles. They've seen a lot of healings. They've seen demons cast out. They've seen all this supernatural stuff, and they've also, in the midst of all of that evidence along the way, have had a lot of confusion too. Though they're seeing Jesus do all this thing, they also had a lot of questions, okay? So finally it seems, now he asks them a question and Peter answers, it seems that they finally got the truth of who he is nailed down. It's kind of ingrained in them now, at least in the mind of Peter. But really, probably all of them. Of course, we know except Judas, because he was not truly born again. But Peter served as the spokesperson for the group. So Peter's reply here pretty much is probably likely a consensus of all of them. They've all kind of got it nailed down. Yes, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And in order to realize how profound that answer is, we need to kind of go back and consider some things that we've discussed many times along the way, but it doesn't hurt to rehearse them again. Like their fellow Jews, the disciples had been taught that the Messiah was going to come was going to be a conquering Messiah. They grew up in the Word of God, the Old Testament Word of God, which would lend towards thinking that this man is going to come on the scene, a military genius, a powerful leader, and he's going to come on the scene and he's going to deliver us from our enemies and he's going to set the record straight and he's going to establish this glorious kingdom here on earth. And so this is kind of what the disciples, like all of the Jews, were kind of thinking. So when Jesus came on the scene and refused to use the power that he had against the oppressive Roman government that occupied Israel, that kind of had to have, in their minds, called his identity into question, okay? Not to say that they denied who he was, but it had to create a little bit of uncertainty in their minds. You take those facts, coupled with his meek and humble way of doing things. You know, he was not controversial. He was not in your face. He was controversial, by the way, but not intentionally controversial. Not in your face, not telling people how the cow ate the cabbage kind of deal. He was more of a meek, humble type leader. That was total contrast to their preconceived ideas about who the Messiah was going to be. So they had to have some doubt. That would just be natural to anybody to begin to doubt. And you think about it, even John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the pre-runner to the Messiah. In chapter 3 of this same book, he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand when he saw Jesus. So he's saying the Messiah is here with us, okay? He said, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Over in John chapter 1, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. See, John, all of these words and all these comments are telling us that John knew that Jesus was the Messiah. But yet still, over in Matthew chapter 11, which we've already studied, he had some doubts. Remember, he sent word through his disciples asking, are ye the expected one or should we expect another? So he even had a little bit of vacillating between his faith and then a little bit of doubt, okay? And he was the greatest man of all. So we can't be too hard on the disciples and their fluctuations in believing and in not believing, okay? So Jesus' miracles and power were very, very clear evidence that he was the Messiah. But then on the other side of that, his failure to use that power or exercise that power to overthrow their enemies caused a question mark to come up. And so you can imagine the struggles that they were dealing with. And sometimes they were strong in faith and sometimes they weren't. Sometimes they doubted, and like all of us, okay, along the way. But now it seems in this text where they've really nailed it down in their hearts of who he was, his messiahship, his divinity, being the Son of God, is firmly established in their mind. Peter, when he answers in verse 16, he says, thou art the Christ, okay? That's simply saying the Messiah. In fact, the word Christ is the Greek equivalent to Hebrew Messiah, okay? And then he says, the Son of the living God. That speaks of his divinity. And notice that he refers to him as Son of the living God. That's very important because in my studies I discovered that in Caesarea Philippi, which is where this is taking place, there were two huge monuments there. One of them was a mythological god by the name of Pan, okay, God little g there, okay, and then there was also a huge monument to Caesar, who was supposed to be a deity himself. Though mortal, they were claiming that he was a deity. So Peter's confession of being the Son of the living God was in stark contrast to these huge images that most everybody in that area were familiar with, okay? He is saying, you're the real and true eternal Son of God, the eternal deity, if you will. And this is a very profound answer to the Lord's question, and it was pleasing to the Lord. I want you to notice what he says in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You think about that for a moment, what he's saying there. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed that. What's he mean by that? He's saying, you didn't learn this in your humanness. That's what flesh and blood represents there, is our human frailty, our humanity. The humanness part of Peter and the rest of the disciples had doubted. We know that, okay? We get our doubt from the human side of us, and we get our faith from the spiritual side of us. And he goes on and he says, flesh and blood hadn't revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, you didn't come up with that answer through your flesh and your human thinking. You came up with that answer through God. God has revealed that to you. He laid that on your heart. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, spiritually discerned means they just simply are spiritually accomplished. There's a lot of things spiritually that you and I are not going to know based on head knowledge. It has to be driven home to our hearts spiritually, okay? We can read our Bibles. We can come up with a lot of conclusions, some of them right, some of them wrong. But when we are truly redeemed, when we're truly born-again Christians, we have availed ourselves to the Spirit. We've set ourselves up to have the occupation of the Spirit in our life, and that's where we truly begin to grasp things that He reveals to us that couldn't otherwise have been clearly understood, okay? And it's not to say that we're going to be 100% faithful for the rest of our lives once we get saved and never doubt, because there is going to be some doubt and there is going to be some confusion as long as we live in these unredeemed bodies and have unredeemed brains, okay? But we don't have to be characterized by that doubt. If we will yield to the Holy Spirit, first of all, staying in the Word of God and yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit, seeking the Holy Spirit in prayer, that's what's going to keep you and I on the side of faith as opposed to the side of doubt. Think about what we're up against. Human beings, redeemed souls, okay, can't take that away from us. They're redeemed forever, all eternity. But we're living in human bodies that are unredeemed, and again, brains that are unredeemed, so they're going to think wrongly at times. Then we're confronted with the opposition and the lies of this world every day, bombarding us. On top of that, Satan and his attacks and assaults on our think bones, we're really up against a pretty good battle here, okay? But if we still in that, if we will, like Jesus says here, not lean on flesh and blood to reveal the truths to us, but lean on God the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, then that battle can be won. And that's what we've seen here. Will the disciples ever doubt again after this that he's the Messiah? They very well could. We know that Thomas doubted later on in the Scripture. We know that Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times, so that is an exercise in doubt. And so, yes, we know that they will still battle. But by and large, they have reached a point in their life where they are convinced that their lives are going to be characterized by faith, and they are convinced that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God and the long-awaited Messiah. Now, I'd like to, the next time we're together, what we're about to bite off into gets pretty deep. When you begin to talk about Peter, upon this rock I will build my church and all of that. And so we're not even going to endeavor to start that this lesson, but we'll do this next time we're together. But be praying, if you will. about Vacation Bible School. And if you're here, we're going to dismiss in a word of prayer in just a moment. If you're here and you would like to help in any capacity, just stay for the meeting. We'll be very brief. Trisha's going to get in here and lead us in the meeting because she knows all the stuff. And so let's go ahead and be dismissed in a word of prayer. I'll ask you to go ahead and stand. And I'll ask Brother Ben Munoz, if you'll lead us in prayer, we'll be dismissed.